Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. And you, let's get those gloves touched. One red, one blue. Well, none of us are wearing blue in here. It's Nebraska-Creighton. 25 hours from now. Can you feel it? We'll spend some time talking Nebraska-Creighton. We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel and Bill Dolman in 20 minutes. Nebraska legend Dave Remington will be with us. Get his take on the college football award ceremonies, the Remington Trophy announcement. That'll be at the Rococo coming up here the 12th of January. And we'll talk with college football with Mr. Dave. You can join us, can spend some time, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in, can tweet at us and follow us, Schmidt, it's Schmidt underscore radio. I should know my own damn Twitter handle. We'll spit that out, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity, and as always, can email Chris at Hail Varsity. .com. So, Danny, you're a recently removed Nebraska basketball student. My era of Nebraska basketball goes way back, but when I was sitting in the student section 96 to 01, not great, not horrible. And the Creighton game, I didn't dwell on it, and then it's continued to grow and rise up, and it's real. I don't know that you put it in Nebraska, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Texas, Nebraska, Michigan, Nebraska, Ohio State, Nebraska, Colorado territory, football and basketball. And it is a point of contention. It is a very important ball game. And here's what I feel like, man. I feel like the Nebraska basketball fan base is on the edge of a cliff right now. And they're ready to walk away from the edge or ready to just jump. And that sucks. That sucks that it's 7-2. Your faith is clinging to the most recent outing. We're reliving. We're Groundhog Day-ing last year, this year, with the difference being last year kind of came out of nowhere, how good they were. This year, you have proof, and to some, they haven't lived up to expectations. Would you take 7-2? Yeah, you would. How have you lost two of those games? Very differently. One, where you just got pounded. The other gave it away. I feel like there's been a giant wet blanket thrown a little bit on the excitement. People are fired up because they have bloodlust to beat Creighton. I get that. Take Creighton down, shut him up, and claim the state championship bragging rights, the now or never mentality. If it's ever going to happen, it's this year. I understand all of that, but you know, it is teetering right now, and it's too soon to be teetering because Nebraska won't get kept out of the tournament if they don't beat Creighton. Nebraska won't make the tournament if they do beat Creighton. But just from a mental health standpoint for Nebraska basketball fans, they got to win this thing tomorrow. And we'll be doing the Real Red Tip-Off Show in the Rail Yard in the public market at 4 o'clock. Can't wait for that. I'm excited about it. Look, I know Creighton's a little bit better than maybe we thought they'd be. They've kind of hit their stride a little bit. In Nebraska right now, they have stopped momentum because of what happened Wednesday night. Is that a fair assessment? We'll hear from Tim Miles here in a little bit. And he's asked about the Nebraska basketball fan base. he is all for it when it comes to those expectations. What's your read on it? What's your gauge? Do you think has your excitement and anticipation waned a little bit for tomorrow because of the uncertainty with Nebraska basketball? You're not sure what this team is. It isn't going to define you. A lot of season left, great Big Ten schedule. I'm not making excuses if they lose. I'm just saying there's a way to get where you want to go without winning tomorrow. But it damn sure feel good to do it. Because right now, this is, you are chasing the golden goose. And it's sad commentary that's Creighton. Creighton's been really good, okay? They're nice. But it's not like they're Duke, okay? They're just the in-state annoyance that has scoreboard on you right now, and you want it to change, and you want it to silence. That's what it is. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Creighton, Nebraska. It's been a long time.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I mean, I think I don't want to, like, put everything on the table by saying this, but it's pretty much a must win for Nebraska in a sense where it's going to dictate how the rest of the season goes. Because if Nebraska doesn't lose that game to Minnesota, they can afford to lose this game to Creighton. But now that they lost to Minnesota, this game is virtually a must win because if they lose to Creighton as well, there's so much pressure on this team to win the rest of the season. There's so much of a small margin for error.
So you're back to the margin for error,
right,
side of things versus, yeah, actually just beating the in-state. Because that's kind of where it's at. It's a resume-building game. It's super important. But, man, if you don't take care of business on Saturday at home, people start doubting the head coach. People doubt the head coach right now. They want to see consistency. They want to see the win. And they feel like that Nebraska's got a decided talent advantage in most games that they step on the floor. Mm-hmm. That's what drives them nuts, is they're not fulfilling their potential.
Exactly.
There's
the expectations
some PTSD.
Are so high.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, because, you know, we've talked about it, and you said Andy Katz said 10 teams from the Big Ten could be getting into the tournament, he predicts, so that even adds even more pressure Nebraska to be one of those teams. I feel like because the Big Ten is so competitive this year, they really need to take advantage of these games where they're probably more talented being against Creighton and have the home court advantage, which everyone is saying, or not everyone, but a lot of people around the country are saying the PBA is one of the best home court advantages, and we'll see if it lives up to it on Saturday.
That's big. Living up to kind of what you're supposed to be, right? And as a Nebraska basketball fan right now, you're nervous. You're a pregnant nun right now. Sorry, that's what comes to my mind. It's the old saying.
I think I've heard that one.
Ever? Nervous is a pregnant nun. I mean, and let that imagery just run wild. I'm sorry, but that's just it. That's where Nebraska basketball fan is right now, because you want it so bad, but you're not sure it can happen. You're afraid. You're afraid of just getting worked by a team you despise. Let's get into some Tim Miles. He met with the media earlier today. Bill Dolman going to be with us in an hour. He is confirming from Connecticut. We'll see if he's getting...
he's at a taco bar.
Yeah, we'll see what he's doing there. Here's the thing, man, and here's the thing that kind of wears out Nebraska basketball fans is the inconsistency with Minnesota, okay? And I'm going to go number two here, the cut, that is. do your job as a coach. You're the coach. You're the adult. Call a timeout. Get the ship righted. And Coach Miles was asked about that. And I think Coach Miles, he's always honest and he's always a great listen. But he's owning some missteps from Wednesday. And that was apparent, okay? There's a time you can use a timeout or several to stop momentum or re-instruct shot selection or implore the guys to be tougher in the paint. Whatever. You can do whatever you want. There's also a upperclassman vibe with this group because they are seniors. They are they're transfer guys. They have seen and done about everything in their college basketball career, right? They've had an interesting journey, and they're really great players. So there's some ownership and investment and equity that the Copes and the Palmers have put into this. Glenn Watson's been here, bless his heart, forever. So this is their team. And if they're unable to check a peer with a shot selection, or if he's slacking on defense, or if he just doesn't have it that night, you're going to have a bad or an off game. I get it. This group was able to, like, focus. And I kind of remember Copeland's comments and the language he had to will the guys against Clemson. Okay, and maybe that was said Wednesday night, and they just didn't win. I don't know. But there's a balancing act between being the coach and being hands-on with it, and then letting the locker room and the team do their thing. You go win the ball game. That is tough. And it sounds like there's some mulligans Coach Miles wants back from Wednesday, some of his decisions. You're the adult. You're the coach. You're the boss. You make the call to put your guys in best position to win. He doesn't think he did that consistently enough Wednesday night.
And that's what I've struggled with, is because I know they were worried about fouls, and I probably blame myself for, you know, like, okay, I got you. Let's just stay what we're in. Then it doesn't matter if they foul or they score. It's the same thing. Anybody can run out there. I could go out there and play, and they still score on us. So, I mean, just because you're 6'9 and handsome and all these great qualities doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. So I think that's where I probably blame myself, but I trust these guys. And, you know, we had equity until 3 minutes left in the game. We still had a lead. We still had all these things going on. So it wasn't like, and we'd answered another run. They'd made a big run on us in the first half, and we were able to answer that. Yeah, I miscalculated it, I think, and that's where the buck stops, really.
That, to me, is I didn't know what to do. I did not know what to do. Up 13. Still ahead as 13 got whittled to 9, and then that got whittled to 7, and then it was 5, and then it was 3, and then you're down 3. I didn't know what to do, and I was afraid of foul problems, which is very fair, okay? Cope was in foul trouble. Roby was in foul trouble. James was off, and you had Glenn. You were getting career highlights from Hyman, okay? You still got Thomas Allen. So right there, coaches can have a bad game as well. The problem is Nebraska basketball fan is sick of seeing, just when they're ready to jump on board and beat their chest about their basketball program, here's a bad game for the coach. Maybe I'm reading too much into that. I think it sounded like he was very unsure what to do. Do I let these guys run with it? Do they figure it out for themselves? Because they're a veteran group, or damn, I should have switched pick and roll defense. Bottom line is, you should have said stop shooting stupid shots early in the shot clock. And then pick and roll defense doesn't matter, because in transition or kind of a secondary break type situation, if they reset it, it doesn't matter if you take better shots or hit some shots or finish at the rim, or you box out defensively, so it's not another offensive rebound for Minnesota. Or when it comes to free throws, it's great you hit a high volume of them, but you also fouled the hell out of Minnesota, or at least whistled for it. I'm glad he's being accountable that, yeah, some mess ups on my end, but that is just more blood in the water for a Nebraska basketball fan that is very fickle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're reading too much into it, if I'm being honest.
At least he's owning it.
Right.
Great. But that isn't good. Good in front of Creighton.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a fan, you'd rather have that than your coach just kind of brush it off and not even hint on it. But what I look at it as is, you said that he didn't know what to do. I say I think he does truly trust his guys.
He didn't want to be wrong.
Right. And
he knew
exactly.
What to do. He didn't want to be wrong.
He didn't want to adjust. He wanted to stick to the game plan he had, regardless of the double-digit lead. Thought he'd come around again. The offense would come back. Maybe the fouls would simmer down, instead of adjusting offensively and defensively. I think that's what it really came down to. And that's what's been the issue for this team. Anytime they have a lead on the road, not adjusting, not taking your time, not getting the right shot. And I just don't understand when this team and Coach Miles is going to learn to do that.
Well, and part of it, though, too, is, I mean, Miles, let me just spend 2 seconds in, like, devil's advocate in his defense. You got You had three seniors out there, for God's sake. One of you go to Cope and say, move in, drive the ball to Palmer. Right? If you're Cope or you're Glenn.
Right.
Talk to your dude. And this isn't just all pinata time on Palmer. I love Palmer. But it things worked out badly when he settled. Okay?
Always does.
Right? And if the the teammate isn't going to do it, it's the head coach's job. Do we have time to run the fan unrest? Cut 10. And Miles was asked, no, we'll come back to it at 40 because Dave Remington's coming up. No, if you're in a brand, listen, you're excited, but there's been a wet blanket thrown on Saturday. There just has been. And people will be fired back up. They'll be back on the bandwagon. Nebraska basketball is awesome and great, and this team's phenomenal. It can be the first team to win a tournament game, yada, yada, yada. Totally believe that. I think they are that good. But the frustration is causing some nervousness with the Nebraska basketball fans because you want success so bad. You're afraid that you're just going
to... You're afraid to love and get hurt again with this team.
It is. You're going to get dumped again. It's Lucy and the football and Charlie Brown. Just let it ride. Go have a couple. Enjoy. Party on down in the rail yard. And cheer on Nebraska tomorrow if you're a big Red fan. Dave Remington's next.
And now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Want to say hi to a Hall of Famer, a legend, and the Remington Award handed out last night at the College Football Award Ceremony. Don't forget at the Rococo Theater coming up the 12th of January, the Remington Award. Dave Remington with us. Dave, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you. How you doing?
I am good. I am good, man. I'm excited for bowl season to get here. I can't wait to talk with you. Last time we had a chance to talk, you were on a dirt road somewhere trying to find your way back to a cabin or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that. That was in the interim AD years, yes.
The interim AD years, absolutely. There's so much to get into, but spend a minute or two here on the award on Garrett Bradbury from NC State. Just a quick reaction. I mean, there's so many great players that play the center spot, and only one can be honored with your award.
Well, it's a very difficult decision every year. We base the winner on the Walter Camp All-American, the Sporting News All-American, the football writers, and whoever is the consensus out of those three will become the Remington Trophy winner. It's just impossible for a one person or a committee to actually be able to view all these games. So we put a lot of stock in those three groups, and they usually do a great job for us.
Well, and you've been doing a great job at the Rococo. How many years have you guys been going to the Rococo, Dave?
I believe this is our 19th year. So, you know, that's a beautiful venue. They do a great job for us down there. The support, I think we've raised almost $4.75 million out of this event. So that's for cystic fibrosis. So it's a real good event. We've got Frank Caliendo coming in. He's an impressionist, and he does a lot of sports figures. He's pretty popular. We've got the Gerald R. Ford Legends Award winner is going to be Lieutenant General Robert Cassam, Jr., and he is a superintendent at Army for about 5 years, and he played center at Army. He's a real interesting individual. I had a chance to go to one of the Army games. This is a beautiful venue. If you ever get a chance to go there, take it. And he's a really interesting guy, so I'm looking forward to his speech. It should just be a wonderful night. And of course, we've got Garrett Bradbury, NC State. I think they were 9-3 this year. They had a Gator Bowl appearance versus the Texas A&M. He's about 6'3", 300 pounds. He's in good shape and looks like he's ready to rock and roll.
He is tremendous. Remington Trophy going to be at the Rococo Theater. That award ceremony. Can log on BoomerEsiacinFoundation.org to find out more information, to donate, help fight cystic fibrosis. Wall tickets remain. I mean, it's always a sold-out event. And Dave, congrats to you and the foundation for all the work you do raising money for research dollars against cystic fibrosis. And folks know you, folks know Boomer, but step back for just a second if you could, and tell us how you've gone this direction in almost 20 years doing it.
Well, there was a time where I was being interviewed by a gentleman from the San Francisco Chronicle, I believe, but he's an older gentleman. He's passed away since, but he was interviewing me about the Outland Trophy, and he said, well, you won this twice. They should have a trophy named after you. I just kind of laugh it off. Boomer got wind of this, and then he said, why don't we do something to honor the center position and shed some light onto it. And, you know, 19 years later, here we are. It's been a lot of fun. I love coming back to Lincoln, Nebraska, even though it's January. It's not the best time of the year to be there, but it's a great, great venue, great time. And the people in Nebraska have supported this so well. It's astonishing.
Dave Remington with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Dave, let's spend a minute here on Nebraska football. It's so near and dear to your heart. You stepped up and you stepped in to fill the role as interim athletic director. Your reaction and impression of 2018, year one of Scott Frost?
Well, I think it's turned out well. I think they, it was a rough start. Before the season started, I was interviewed at my football camp on what I thought the season would be. And I was thinking 6-6, and simply because I said, you can't tell me who the starting quarterback is going to be, who the starting center is going to be, who our kicker is going to be, and in our safety. I said, we've got a lot of holes to fill, and these are important holes to fill. And so I thought, they faced adversity early. They made a lot of mistakes. And as the season progressed, the team progressed. And by the end of the year, they were playing really good football, and they were competitive with anybody out there.
They were. And that's the thing I think Nebraska fans are happiest about, is that they got better. Nebraska got better as the year went on, and they were in it with Ohio State. They were right there against Iowa. And strength and conditioning is such an emphasis, and Coach Frost goes about it, so does Coach Duvall, to train these guys and develop them. And that was your specialty, man. You were so good in the weight room. You were so good with your teammates, I mean, at playing physical football. And Nebraska looks like they're going to try and get back to doing that. It doesn't happen overnight. The process of it is going to take the time, and that's where I'm wondering what you think as far as what Nebraska can do offensively. Can they blend that physicality and the speed? That's the hope, I think.
Well, I think you mentioned Zach Duvall. I think he's the key in getting the University of Nebraska back to being a dominant football team in the trenches, offense and defensive linemen. Receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, they're pretty much, that's a God-given thing. And you've got a gift. Offense and defensive linemen, especially offensive linemen, you can develop. And that's the great thing about the bringing back the walk-on program. It looks like it's in full, it's really in full gear now. We need stability in the coaching. We need stability at the administrative level. We need stability in the athletic department. I think we've got those three pieces together. I think everything looks good. Now we just got to put the work in and get the kids ready so they can physically compete with the other teams.
On the offensive line, when you catch a Nebraska game, do you watch the whole thing or do you focus on the O-line?
Well, I focus on our offensive line when we have the ball, and our defensive line when the other team has the ball. Well, I try to anyway. Sometimes I catch myself like a regular fan just watching the quarterback.
But, sure. That's a good quarterback to watch.
I just look and see, where is the line of scrimmage? Are we pushing them off the ball, or are they pushing us off the ball? On defense, are we playing on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage or the defense? And, I think if our defense can catch up with our offense here, I mean, right now we're really shy on a three technique that can do a lot of things, stuff to run and be somewhat of a pass rusher in there on the inside, where you can collapse a pocket from the inside out, and your edge rushers, your nine technique. You got to have somebody that can really make the quarterback step up, and hopefully with a collapsing pocket, there's no place for him to step up, and you get a lot of sacks that way. We need to upgrade in the defensive line department, especially at the three technique level. I think your defensive tackles have got to be man eaters. They've got to be people who can stuff the offensive line, separate, keep their shoulders square, and get off blocks. And that's where I see the weakness right now.
Is there a guy you enjoyed rolling the sleeves up against, either college or pro?
I didn't even know who I was playing against most of the time in college. It was just the team we were playing. Oklahoma was always an exciting game, and I couldn't tell you who the nose guard was most of the time, but that was a game that we had to win in order to have a successful season. And so a lot of emphasis was on watching his technique, not really knowing who the guy was. But, yeah, I think – well, I do remember Gaylord out of Missouri. He was a tough guy, strong guy, a guy my height. I always liked going against the tall guys because I could get underneath him and push him back. But Jeff was a guy who was – you know, every bit is probably stronger than I was. So he was a pretty good athlete. So tough nose guard.
I'll sit down and chat Nebraska football with Mike Babcock. Mike's an incredible just historian and an author, and your name will come up. We'll be talking about offensive line, and Michael's pause and go, you know, he was the offensive player of the year. how do you react? You're a modest.
You know, I wasn't even the best guy on my team. We had guys who were so good. We had Roger Craig, Mike Rozier, Irving Fryer, Dean Steinkuhler, Mike Mandelko. I mean, we could go on and on with that offense. And I was just a guy out there playing. We had some really talented people. What I excelled on is that they gave me an opportunity to run the football and get knock people out of the way, and that's what I was good at. I was good at getting in front of people and staying in front of them. Those other guys were they did all the special work. I just, you know, facilitated their greatness, I guess.
Well, you were as good as it gets. Cam Jurgens, the name is very familiar to Nebraska fans, just a stud athlete out of Beatrice. Nebraska wants to move him to center, put some weight on. They think he could be incredible. What's the trick to doing that?
Well, he's just had to put a lot of time in the weight room, and they've got Dave Ellis, who's one of the best nutritionists in the sporting world at Nebraska now, and they got a superb strength coach in Zach Duvall. He's got all the pieces he needed. The guy that won, Gary Bradbury, was a tight end
that
moved to center. It seemed like the last few years we've had guys who played other positions and moved to center, and they were able to pick it up in a year. I guess he was out just for a day or two before he hurt his foot.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy who has exceptional strength. Was a shot putter at Beatrice. I think he probably was a state champion. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing he was. And he threw the shot put farther than Scott Frost, so Scott could throw the shot put pretty good. So he's probably a great athlete. I'm looking forward to see what he can do. What I'd like to do this year was I think last year we didn't have a Remington Trophy watch lister from Nebraska last year or this year, and I just can't wait till we get a young guy in there we can develop who can actually possibly win this thing. Rayola won it. The first year we put this together, Rayola won it. And I don't know how many years he played in the NFL, but what a fantastic football player he turned out to be. I guess it's probably in the 15, 16, 17 years in the NFL as a center. I mean, that was nutty.
Yeah,
I saw him the other time when he was back when I was doing the AD gig. He looked like he could still play now.
Well, he went for, I think he just retired like 2 years ago. He went forever. I mean, with Detroit. He was a good kid, great player out of Hawaii. Dave Remington with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Last thought, Dave, and I love catching up with you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. Turner Gill, your quarterback, deciding to retire. React to that if you could.
Turner's always been a very special guy for me because he was my quarterback. And all my quarterbacks I have the highest respect for, especially Turner. You know, we were both young and we were both trying as hard as we could, and we had a lot of success at Nebraska. And, he had to put up with my little quirks of the snapping of the ball a little bit early now and then, and he did a great job doing that. Never, hardly ever fumbled and never complained. And he was as steady as a rock in the huddle, a guy who I have the utmost respect for. I mean, and, tough decisions when your family members are not doing well physically and he's stepping down and he's going to take care of his wife, Gail. Just a superb individual. Just a great human being.
Dave, thank you for your time. We'll get caught up again before January. How's that?
That sounds great. Look forward to it.
There he is, the legend, Dave Remington, in the Remington Award last night, College Football Award Ceremony, and the award ceremony celebration at the Rococo Theater the 12th of January, 2019, in downtown Lincoln. More Nebraska Creighton when we come back.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
20 minutes away, Bill Dolman going to talk Nebraska basketball with us. divisions to maybe get rid of, or how about just expanding? And invite Oklahoma, Texas, 24/7 sports report from a Minnesota person that has a source from the Big Ten that maybe they're talking to their friends down at the Red River area. We'll get into that. Brandon Vogel going to come up with us around 5:25. We'll talk Nebraska Creighton with him. Husker volleyball giving the people's elbow severely to Kentucky earlier today. Nebraska back in the Elite Eight. That means something. That's 1,000% impressive, but it's old hat. What is not is beating Creighton. And here is Tim Miles, and good for him embracing the fact that it's, let's call it what it is. It's a big game.
I think we all accept it as a big game. I mean, I do, certainly. And I haven't had any success against McDermott, and I haven't, you know, we haven't beaten Creighton yet. And so it obviously means a lot. And you try and say it doesn't mean as much as the last game or the next game. But when you're in it, it means everything. You know what I mean? You don't sleep and you don't get raccoonized for your, you know, it means a lot to them. I think they'll be hyped up, but you got to approach it like, hey, relax, be aggressive. Let's go have fun with this.
That's 1,000% the approach. Don't let this thing engulf you. Competitors that do it the right way, man, they are so geeked to play in games, in moments, in big games like this. That's what you do it for. You love the opportunity, and go have fun with it. Don't overthink it, for the love of God, like Wednesday night. With the screen and roll defense or worrying about the foul trouble, period. Creighton's got dudes that can shoot. And Creighton will play defense Saturday, and Creighton will rebound. That's what they're going to do. And they're good with it. And they're going into this thing. I mean, the pressure is all on Nebraska because it's now or never, you feel like. And if you're Palmer, if you're Cope, if you're Roby, if you're Watson, just find a way to enjoy the moment. The atmosphere is going to be incredible. It could, I mean, from a magnitude standpoint, nothing will eclipse Frank the Tank in Wisconsin and Nosit Sunday. But it is going to be festive and carnival-like and insanely awesome tomorrow. We want to see you in the public market, in the rail yard. We'll be there from 4 to 5 pregame, Real Red tip-off with me and Danny Burke. Can't wait for that. Nebraska. We're doing this for Nebraska basketball games this season. So come have a cold one. Stay warm. Pass on through. Give us a wave. Single digit or not. We'll take all sorts of waves and get you ready for Nebraska Creighton. Just relish this, man. This is going to be great. This is why you play college basketball.
You know what matchup this is? This is Nebraska Creighton. Tim Miles with McDermott is Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer. Harbaugh has yet to beat Urban. Miles has yet to beat McDermott. In basketball terms, this is the matchup for it.
Well, is it also the mental block Michigan has on Ohio State?
We'll see.
Here's the thing. McDermott and Miles are buddies.
Yeah, okay? That's true.
They're good. There's no hatred. This isn't who hates. I think Paul Johnson and Lou Holtz absolutely hated each other. And that's like, well, who the hell's Paul Johnson? I know he just retired from Georgia Tech. But as far as legendary coaches squaring off against one another, it's two guys that get along. There's no hatred. It's not McCartney and Osborne. And I don't see they hated each other, but McCartney was a whack job and annoying, right? Tim's quirky, but him and McDermott go back a long time. I mean, here's what your storylines are. First and foremost, this is a resume boosting game, okay? Because ultimately it comes down to Selection Sunday. Conference record and how you do in a dominant Big Ten will say a lot, and it'll say more than what happened Saturday. It just will. You have a ton of chances to improve your lie if you're Nebraska, or eliminate you, okay? But how do you respond to a bad Wednesday game with your rival and the demon coming in Saturday? That's what I'm interested in. How does this veteran team bounce back? Do they kind of follow suit like they did against Texas Tech with Clemson? That's good. That's some recent history you can look at and go, they'll be okay. They'll handle this right. They'll learn. Or do they, like, start folding? Are they nervous? The pressure and the buildup and the timing of it is very real. But it's about resume, and it's how do you respond to a loss, and can you kind of kickstart some momentum again? Okie State's on the horizon. Fullerton's there. And then you slam back into conference play. So that's what it is for me. I mean, that's kind of how I go through this. First and foremost, like, open your arms up, dude, and drink this thing in, Rod Burgundy. It's awesome. It's going to be a great ball game, incredible atmosphere. But your patience is thin and it's short as a Nebraska basketball fan because you want to see it happen now. The time is now.
You being from Nebraska and growing up watching Nebraska basketball, would you say this is one of the most a Nebraska-Creighton matchup like that you've looked forward to the most with like excitement and believing the Huskers could win your whole life?
I was looking at last year. I was interested to see how last year went. Nebraska was right there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other thing. Nebraska played well. Nebraska played well last year. But a couple, three coaching decisions, right, or lack of execution is what doomed them. That's the frustrating part, is either you're getting out-coached or guys aren't executing. And that's the biggest gripe Nebraska basketball fans have right now is, okay, we like our head coach. We know that there's talent. Realize that talent. Meet your potential. Improve. And the guys had 7 years to do it. Because that'll be they lose Saturday. That's going to be the next thing. People already so wild with their emotion on keep him fired. I mean, that's just what it is. And it was that way last year. And there's not really any certainty with a contract extension. I mean, it's very open and out there. Go perform if you want to get paid. Go perform if you want this fan base to stop being bandwagon. And listen, don't sling arrows at me about, oh, you called us bandwagon. No, man. Just like 99.9% of you are all good. But you'll stop paying attention to Nebraska basketball some the second they aren't doing it for you anymore. It's not, you have the love affair for football is 10 times more powerful in this state than basketball has been always. And basketball's always kind of Chicago Cubs you for a long time. They just have. Do I have time for cut 10 or did I just, can we do that? Miles is no 11. Maybe. Here's more from Tim Miles, and it's interesting the way that this thing's been. Let's just save him for the other side. I will do that. I'm anxious for it, but right now you want to scream how much you hate Creighton and Creighton sucks and da da da. Listen, man, people I know that attended Creighton, Jeff the pharmacist, he loves him some Nebraska. But he got his pharmacy degree from Creighton, so he wears blue. I don't hate him.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes, Bill Dolman's coming up. NBC Sports, Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, Hail Varsity Radio. Great to be with you. Brandon Vogel's on the way. Listen, Saturday, if you're Tim Miles, can't ruin your season. It ruined 2014, 2015, because you lost a freaking Incarnate Word after Creighton beat you. But it can't also it can't make your season. It can be a part of it can be a good part of the season. But you can't make it too big and let it possess you. Here is Tim Miles, his reaction to fan unrest because it was venomous on Wednesday night on Twitter, on social media. And it'll be awful tomorrow night around 8 o'clock or so if they don't win or if they get hammered. I mean, he is buy an army helmet is what I'm saying.
Listen, if the fan base is happy because we played tough at Minnesota, we got the wrong fans. You know, we don't need to – they need to be saying, this bum, what's he doing? Why are we still stuck with
him? They are.
And when a coach is there long enough, it really does become what you – what you can't do or don't do, as opposed to who you are and what you do well. And that goes with the territory. So if there's a grumble, this, that, and the other thing, yeah, I'm glad they are because it means they care. I'm not happy either. Guess who else is grumbling? Kerry Johnson back at the house. Why aren't you calling timeout? Like, I'm getting the business from the dog. And so you should get that. You know what I mean? And so I think it's great, and I want to be great. And, I mean, so many people, I mean, I had guys printing golf balls about it, handing me golf ball, you know, like, yeah, I don't need that, but I get it, you know. I mean, and they care, and that's what matters most. And that's what's great about our Husker fans, and I want to come through for them.
Dude, that's the best take, period. It's not okay to go play well against Minnesota. Beat them, beat Creighton, moving on. He gets it. He's had a really good approach this season, too. I mean, he hasn't seemed as tight or as tense, despite the expectation. And a lot of that is the core four. That makes things all right. I think he's pretty confident in this guy. They just got to go do it. And he can't second-guess himself. He can't overthink tomorrow. Coach Miles can't. So let him go play. And lean on some of your assistants to help you with the adjustments. That if you get beat by a better team, Nebraska fans totally can take that. But to get out coached when you have equal or better talent, that pisses Nebraska fans off, period.
Especially when you have a large lead heading toward the end of the game. Like,
it is absolutely, oh, here we go again. That's what this is. And your interest level is very high in Creighton, Nebraska. Your faith that it'll work out the way you want it to is near minimal to nil. Should we qualify? You want to do that? You good with that?
We can do that.
All right. Holiday Hail Mary. Going to be giving away the 14th. Your chance to qualify now. Caller 8 and 9. Right now with Hail Varsity at ESPN Lincoln.
Hey! Three-man rush.
What's this lying around?
All kinds of time.
It's the season to be merry.
Steps into the throw. In the wind.
Nipply out. I mean nippy out.
Down to the goal line.
Now the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny Kaye.
Todd!
Ho, ho, ho.
Touchdown!
There you go. Caller 8-9. Qualify. Holiday. Hail Mary. 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 8, caller 9, qualify Holiday Hail Mary. That's a laptop, and that's a gift card to Jet Splash, a gift card to Misty's, some coffee. Bill Dolman's coming up.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. We head back east for NBC Sports' Bill Dolman. He's also the pride of something, the pride of Fairbury. Billy D, how are you, man?
I am worn out. It has been a busy start, as most people know, to the World Cup cross-country and biathlon seasons, but getting ready for two more shows tomorrow and three more shows on Sunday. And as we like to say, at least in my hotel room, that if you see people skiing with guns and shooting at targets, it must be biathlon. If they're shooting at each other, it's a Bond movie.
That's right. I like the Bond movie versus biathlon. Know when and what is what. Bill, a thought here as we opened up the show and spent a lot of time talking Nebraska-Creighton. The fervor and fever for it is, I don't want to say it's still not there with the fans. Fans really want to beat Creighton. That said, you don't watch a 13-point lead evaporate when you're drilling Minnesota and you lose by 7. What's tomorrow mean in your eyes for Nebraska basketball against Creighton?
You know, I'm mystified by Creighton's ability to beat Nebraska consistently in basketball. I don't get it. I know they've had great coaches over the years. I think Greg McDermott's maybe one of the most underappreciated coaches in all of college basketball, and maybe it's because he's only been doing his job at Wayne State, Northern Iowa, Iowa State, and now Creighton. And but if he were on one of the coasts and coaching at a Power 5 school, he would certainly be ranked among the best. I know when I was doing Iowa State basketball a few years back, just a season or two where I would, you know, go through Ames, and I always found him to be, you know, a terrific guy and perfect for the Midwest. And he's clearly satisfied with where he is, and he's to be commended for that. But I don't get how Nebraska has been unable to beat Creighton and at least make it a consistent back-and-forth battle as opposed to the continual mind block that Nebraska seems to have against them.
You're right. I mean, that could be a major part of this is the mind block. Fans were all over Miles after the loss to Minnesota on Twitter. You've got a fan base right now that is, I don't want to say they've checked out, but it's just weird because you were disappointed that they didn't get to the tournament last year. And this year, you had leads in both of your losses. The expectations are so high because, listen, you got all of your weapons back, and you got a lot of talent there. Nebraska fans don't want to be hurt to buy in and believe that Nebraska can hit their potential. And that's what's going on right now. There's some serious doubt because of what happened against Minnesota.
Well, look, I didn't see the Minnesota game, but I read up on it. And I get all that was surrounding that game, and you don't want to put too much into the emotional aspect of it, but it sure seemed like there was something, you know, supernatural going on, you know, for Minnesota. And oftentimes when there is a tragedy that somebody has to suffer through, the only place that they have to find solace is with their teammates in athletics. And everybody rose to the occasion. And, you know, I thought it was poignant in reading that, you know, Tim Miles even embraced the young man, and I thought that showed a lot of class and understanding of the situation. Is that a game Nebraska should have lost? Absolutely not. I said, I think last week or a couple weeks ago, I think Nebraska needed to start conference play 5-0 or 4-1, and I didn't think that one would be at Minnesota. It's a little bit like being in the Big Ten and having the teams you're battling most against is Northwestern. And Nebraska shouldn't be battling back and forth against Minnesota, not with the lineup that they have. Nebraska has two legitimate NBA players on the roster. I don't think that's ever been said about a Nebraska basketball team, and maybe a third. But I think it's becoming more and more apparent that as James Palmer goes, so goes this Nebraska basketball team. And I've said Thomas Allen is incredibly important. Glenn Watson, I think, has plateaued a little bit, but has played with the savvy of a senior. But if Palmer can't shoot, and he went 3 of 14 against Minnesota, 1 of 6 from three-point range, and the Texas Tech game, he was taken out of the game by the officiating. And I'm willing to give him that. I'm not going to typically blame a game, but I saw that one. And Nebraska was completely disjointed when he was out. He should not have been out, and he was. But that Minnesota game, given all the circumstance and surrounding, you're up by 13, you got to win. But I, you know, sometimes emotion just takes over, and a team is able to will its way to victory, and then they did. And it's unfortunate Nebraska was on the other end of that.
Bill, I got to ask you about Coach Tim Miles, and you've known Tim for a number of years. You worked well together at the Mountain and at Colorado State. You know him, and you knew his move here to Lincoln. In the time you've covered him and seen him, is he a guy that when it comes to the moment, can he overthink once in a while or be uncertain of himself? Or is he pretty confident in the game plan and kind of sending his guys out to go do X, Y, and Z? What's your take on that? Is he a guy that could get in his own way in a big game?
Yeah, time has created distance since I last, you know, was around Tim rather consistently, and I have not had much association since he's been in Nebraska. But I've certainly watched, you know, with great observation, you know, because I've known him and whatever role I played in helping that partnership and that association come to be. I'm still proud of that. But I think Tim has matured as a coach. You know, when he was at Colorado State, they could afford to play a little more, you know, balls to the wall and take some chances. And they got to the NCAA tournament with a team with that didn't have a player above 6'5" or 6'6". And now you've got, you know, over the last 6 or 7 years, he's got a different caliber of athlete and different coaches that are on the other sidelines. I don't think Tim's ever intimidated by much at all. And I've never really gotten the sense that he has necessarily coached himself out of games. And I think sometimes you do see that. What I consistently see with Nebraska basketball that has troubled me for years has been three-point shooting. And if that's coaching, allowing those guys to be as freewheeling as they are and thinking that they're in the NBA and you got to win them with a three, well, then maybe they got to dial it in. Nebraska certainly doesn't have a, you know, an Alex Marge post presence on this team and hasn't had since Alex Marge or Rich King, for that matter, or Dave Hoppin. But the way sometimes that team is cavalier in shooting the three at inappropriate times is mystifying to me. And maybe that's something where he needs to say, look, guys, we had to dial this back a little bit. There are times when it seems as though they may be losing a little bit of the momentum and they'll get the ball, they'll get a steal, and they'll run down and they'll jack up a three and back iron, you know, to build a house. And it's like, you know, you got to think that back. You know, unless you got a fast break and an easy point, it takes it, got the ball, use it, work it. And I just think cavalier is the best way to describe the way sometimes the way Nebraska shoots the three, and whatever the results are, they are. And sometimes I think you got to figure out, okay, this isn't working. All right, we got some guys that are very athletic inside. Let's get it in and be satisfied with two. And I feel like a broken record for years now. Nebraska's got to be efficient in 3-point shooting, and I'm talking 38 and flirt with 40% consistently. If you're down to 35 every now and then, okay. But this team shot is shooting 33% from behind the arc. And they're going to take on a team tomorrow that's shooting 45%.
Yeah, they're nuts from three.
Right, but they're disciplined in the way they take them. And they rely on it a lot. They've taken over 200 on the season. That's a lot of threes. And I've not seen Creighton play, but I've seen enough of them play over the McDermott years to know that they take them at the right time. You know, they don't launch. It seems systematic. And when you're in system, and, you know, it's a little bit like watching Nebraska run the option over the years. When you're in system and you do it great. Mm-hmm. You just don't, you know, let's give this a shot. And that's what's most frustrating. But you're seeing a team in Nebraska that is at 33%. They're averaging 8 makes per game. And in their losses, you know, or in their last recent games, they were 6 of 14 against Illinois, 7 of 22 against Clemson. They almost shot themselves out of that game by launching and missing threes.
Well,
at the
Bill,
most inappropriate
let me jump in
time.
Real
and 5
quick.
Of 23 against Texas Tech.
Right, and that's the thing is it's not that you should be beaten for taking a three. No, but just kind of no time and space. You're up, and I get you don't want to get conservative and go into a shell, but okay, if the three isn't working or you're not getting a clean look after three or four passes, San Antonio style, the answer isn't to launch the three. And Danny and I were talking about this, and I love Palmer. I think he's so, so talented, but he'll just settle. And as head coach, you can't let your best player just settle for a long Steph Curry, let's make this thing from 28 feet. That can't be your offense with 5 seconds left. That's the other part of it is the half-court offense. I mean, what do you want to be? We know you want to be a defensive team that rebounds and gets out in transition because that's your best offense. Okay, what's your plan B offensively?
Well, I think they've got to find Palmer. I think they've got to find Copeland. I think they've got to find – I mean, Nebraska has three
options.
Solid weapons, and you've got Watson – I think it was the Texas Tech game. He didn't shoot all that well, and they lost that game. I don't think you want to see him shooting, you know, 3 or 14 from the floor. You know, Watson's got to be a guy that really shouldn't touch double digits in shots. I don't think.
And he hasn't. He's been good. I mean, he's been very efficient. He's been 4 for 8 or 5 for 10 to get his, you know, 15 to 20. I mean, when he scored that much.
But sometimes, you know, watching Nebraska, it seems like it's a team that watches too much NBA. It's the dunk or the three. It's the dunk or the three. And their and players want to play in that system. So I can see why it would be attractive. You know, the guys are thinking, yeah, Nebraska, look at the coach. You know, let's just be ourselves. Well, sometimes you can't be that way, you know, and you got to play within some type of more disciplined system. You know, not everybody in the NBA shoots the three like Golden State, but I'll guarantee you there are teams that are jacking up 35 of them a night thinking, well, that's just the way we play in the NBA, right?
Yeah, and they just fired their coach named Hoiberg.
right. You know that. But I think you know there are some teams that are great within that system, or you know that can do that kind of thing. I just don't think Nebraska is necessarily one of their times when you got it going on and you're feeling it. By all means, have some fun and jack them up and keep that roll going. But if they're not there just to hit them, you know, shoot them, because I don't think we've shot a three in the last 34 seconds. We got to launch a three.
Bill, I got to ask you some college football thoughts. There's a report with 24/7 Sports that the Big Ten may be interested in and go after Texas and Oklahoma to expand. Do you believe that report, and do you think it's something that could happen?
I believe something is going to happen. Whether I believe that a source with a internet name is the one that's putting it out there, not necessarily. But let me just tell you, when we get to 2024 and all of the TV contracts start to come up, that won't be the first time that things are talked about. There's stuff going on, I'll guarantee you, right now. I think the conference that's in the panic mode is the Pac-12.
Yes.
Because they have absolutely no future right now with their Pac-12 network. They're on, but nobody sees it. The Big 12 has survived without a major television conference network, and they're still making some pretty good money with their 10-team league. The Big Ten and the SEC are the ones who get TV. The ACC we're going to see. And if they can convince Notre Dame to join them as a full-fledged member, which only makes sense, Chicago and the Atlantic Coast Conference, if they can convince them to become a full-fledged member, then that's going to bolster the ACC network. But NBC, Notre Dame is in bed with NBC. I don't know what that relationship is. You know, I've been in New York now for the last 10 days, and nobody's, you know, telling me in the hallway what's happening with Notre Dame.
Sure.
But I can see that relationship being extended. And Notre Dame saying, we're fine where we are, and we're in the college football playoff, and we're not in a conference, so what are you going to do about it? I mean, the only thing that I think the college football playoff will do will go to eight teams before they force Notre Dame's hand. So Texas and Oklahoma will be attractive. I'll guarantee you the Pac-12 is going to try and do what they did back in 2010, and that's get Texas to come on board out west. But if you're looking at a place that prints money, it's the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. It's a better deal. Better deal right now.
Right. You've already got an established television network, and you've got appealing games each and every week. I think Jim Delaney said the other day, you know, Maryland brought a lot more to the table than just, you know, mediocre football. They've got a lot of extra. Well, he didn't mention Rutgers, you know.
No, he didn't.
But they brought him in for the, you know, the cable package and expanding the footprint. And if anybody is, I would bet where Jim Delaney is in his career and probably at his age, the last big whale that he wants to land, maybe it's a twofer, it's to bring Texas and Oklahoma into the fold and make it a conference of 16 teams, and that would probably be the next move and maybe the final move to having something, which I said 10 years ago or more on the Average Joe Sports Show, eventually we're going to get to a 64-team, four-region college football scenario.
Bill?
And if Texas and Oklahoma go, I think that's what will happen.
Bill, have a great rest of your weekend. Awesome stuff. Thanks for jumping on with us, man.
Biathlon and cross country all weekend long on the networks of NBC.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, apparently they don't play defense on the way to the Elite Eight in volleyball. Oregon just won their second match against Minnesota 41-39. Go for two. but don't go to the short side of the field. Kidding. We say hi to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine, volleyball, football, sports aficionado, and author, Dream Like a Champion with John Cook. Vogues, what are you doing?
Watching that crazy Oregon match. They're up 10 at last check as of a couple minutes ago in the third set. So might take a 2-1 lead here on home team Minnesota.
Okay. Now, do you want Minnesota if you're Nebraska, or do you take Oregon? I know you beat Oregon, and Minnesota did naughty things twice. So do you want to avenge that, or do you just kind of, we'll take the Ducks. We already got you. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a little danger in playing an Oregon team like this that they should happen to knock off Minnesota. They'd be a pretty confident bunch. Playing against the Gophers is obviously tough on their home floor. I think they've lost two matches there over the past two seasons. But at least you know the challenge at hand. So easier path probably with Oregon. But either way, Nebraska's going to have to go out and play pretty well. And they played really well today.
They swept through. It was the say we told you we got Wandale match, right? I mean, just a little more salt in that Kentucky wound. Vogues, I want to go into some college football. We were talking with Bill Dolman about this. What do you believe? I mean, do you believe the Big Ten may be having some back-channel thoughts about Texas and Oklahoma expand to 16, to 8-team divisions? We'll get to your story and hot reads on yay or nay on divisions for the Big Ten. But here's my question. Oklahoma, absolutely you take them. You put them with Nebraska and Iowa and Wisconsin. That'd be a ton of fun. But if you have your choice, do you take Notre Dame or Texas? And I'd throw Notre Dame in there because maybe a play can finally be made to get them. What's the better option? Is it Texas? Is it Notre Dame? I know Notre Dame's in the playoff this year. I know Notre Dame also went 4-8 3 years ago. What's the better brand, Notre Dame or Texas?
Well, I think the better brand is Texas. I think the better play for the Big Ten, specifically the Big Ten, is Notre Dame. I mean, they've always wanted Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame's always said no. I think it would still be a tough get. Unless, you know, things change drastically in the next 3, 4, 5 years, which they certainly could. You know, the landscape of college sports and, you know, how people access them and thus pay for them is constantly evolving. So, you know, to hear conference expansion talk again was a little bit surprising. But we know Oklahoma's always been out there as a team the Big Ten covets. Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense. I think it's a great thing for Nebraska. Even if it were Texas instead of Notre Dame, like, I know there's no love lost between Nebraska fans and Texas fans, but it would be sort of the ultimate walk-off in a sense. If Texas were to come to the Big Ten, Nebraska could say, oh, well, yeah, we did that in 2011. We didn't have to create our own network and, you know, play in our own sandbox and let that thing basically wither on the vine. We've been here for 15 years at that point.
Here's the position the Big Ten's in, too, Brandon. I mean, they'll be able to re-up their rights. I think it's either 2023 or 2024. They're ahead, okay, of the Big 12 when it comes to rights. Fox is all in on college football. Fox is all in on the Big Ten Network, right? I mean, they're their parent, pretty much. So, and then Fox has been all over the Big 12. I mean, they have loved them some Oklahoma, man. They've really enjoyed it. So it just makes sense because you've already got business relationships now. The Longhorn Network, if I'm ESPN, you know what's gone on with that company, bless their heart, for the last 2 years with layoffs and whatnot and programming. I mean, I don't know that they keep the Longhorn Network around, do you?
No, I don't. You know, I saw an announcement today that they're kind of taking SportsCenter back to what it used to be. At least that was the way it was pitched. You know, ESPN's tried a bunch of things. It's missed on some things, and it's done some good things too. I'm not a person that, you know, just hates ESPN for being ESPN. But yeah, you know, the Longhorn Network was a tough sell, you know, and it coincided with a tough period for Texas football, which certainly doesn't help anything.
No, I mean, it's like they they got picked up when they were hot and playing for the title, and then they just bottomed out. Hurry up and buy us. We're going to be great another 10 years. No, 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 you're not. Now, Herman is intriguing, though. I just love the idea of playing Oklahoma and Texas again. I'm not going to lie, folks.
Oh, yeah, it would be great. You know, getting that Oklahoma series back would mean a lot to a lot of people. And, you know, while Nebraska fans may not be that eager to play Texas based on how that series ended, it would be good for Husker fans, I think, to finally get some more shots at the Longhorns because, you know, the way that losing streak there at the end of Nebraska's Big 12 run was kind of wasn't reflected in the scores and was a little bit out of the norm, and Texas just had Nebraska's number for some reason. That's never a satisfying way to leave things.
No, and think of it this way, too. If you're Fox, I mean, your Black Fridays are set. Let Wisconsin and Iowa wrestle, and then it's Nebraska-Oklahoma. That's a mother of a doubleheader. That's awesome.
Yeah, you could have Iowa-Wisconsin in the morning where the final combined score might not equal the final combined score of the first quarter of a Nebraska-Oklahoma.
Exactly. I mean, it's football for everybody. Okay, you are going to Creighton, Nebraska tomorrow. You know your Nebraska basketball. You, like me, grew up watching it, going to it, listening to it. I've never had hatred for Creighton because, I mean, when I was in college, Nebraska was beating Creighton, okay? And when I was growing up and going to Section B, for Nebraska in the knee era, I mean, it was Tony Barone, man. We just wondered how many runs he was going to eat. So it's flipped. It's flipped for the wrong side of things for Nebraska. I think Dane is a hell of a coach. I've always been wowed by him. Nebraska's been getting owned, okay, by Creighton. How big is tomorrow? I mean, you know the temperature of the fan base. I mean, they're teetering right now because Danny nailed it. They're afraid to get hurt by this expectation versus reality.
Yeah, it's a big time game tomorrow. You know, we've seen with Nebraska's two losses this season just how much people have bought into the program, but you know, still have legitimate concerns about 10 miles with how some of these past seasons have gone, and you see some of these problems in the two losses, and they're the same ones that Nebraska's had in terms of consistent offense, scoring droughts, you know, those sorts of things. And then on top of that, so you drop an absolute heartbreaker against Minnesota with, you know, giving up a late lead, and the team you can't beat, that the team that your fans want to beat the most, oh, they're coming to town this weekend too. No pressure at all on on that one. And I mean, you know, Creighton's been playing pretty well,
yeah.
But you know, still considered down from what they've been. So it's not an easy situation for Nebraska. And I think what happens tomorrow could tell you a lot about how this 2018-19 season goes overall.
Yeah, you can't let. I mean, tomorrow can't make your season because you got a lot of wood to chop in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But it can't ruin your season. I mean, you can't let it ruin like it did back in, I mean, it single-handedly dismantled 2014, 2015. It did. So you can't let that happen again, and I'm anxious for it just because I want to see Nebraska rise up. They've got some players. There's some short history here of, you know, responding the right way if you're Nebraska basketball, the way they did against Clemson after Tech. So just go play ball, man. Just let it fly and take better shots. I don't mean literally let it fly early in the shot clock. So I'm anxious to see it, and I think the atmosphere is going to be insane. You got to be pretty jacked about going.
Yeah, you know, it's not often that you get to go and sit in the stands for a game, so I'll do that for a Nebraska basketball game, I think for the first time at Pinnacle Bank Arena. And it's going to be rocking, I expect. You know, people, Nebraska-Creighton game, as you mentioned, has become significantly bigger over the last, you know, decade and a half or whatever time frame you wanted to put on it. And Nebraska fans know how much they need this one. So it's going to be a hostile atmosphere, and that's going to be a really fun atmosphere to be in.
That'll be good. Brandon Vogel with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogue's a thought on the Big Ten divisions. Time to pump their brakes a little bit. Okay, this year was a bad example, but most years have worked out with your Big Ten championship game having two highly ranked teams. You think the Big Ten's going to overreact and punt divisions?
I doubt it. You know, Jim Delaney kind of copped to the fact that those discussions have happened, and which tells you there are clearly some people who feel that way, probably some people in the East Division, mm-hmm. which, you know, makes sense from their perspective. But you look at the playoff era, having selected the two best teams instead of the two division winners really wouldn't have changed anything, minus it might have helped Ohio State a little bit this year. I still don't think it would have been enough to get Ohio State in there with the way things shook out elsewhere. So you have to look at it, like, with Urban Meyer gone, Maryland's obviously going through a coaching change. Penn State, I'm really interested to see what happens with them going forward. Mm-hmm. You've got Brohm and Frost in the West Division propping that up. You know, P.J. Fleck, the shine isn't totally off him yet. Minnesota got better this year. And you still got Iowa, Wisconsin being Iowa and Wisconsin. So, yeah, the East has been definitively better since they've moved to that setup. But it doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. And I think this is a really good time for the West. I think the West, you know, they kind of beat each other up, and that's always going to be a problem. You need a dominant team or two, like Wisconsin has been recently. But you need that overall division strength, too. And because of the East's reputation, those teams tend to start ranked. And that helps you all year long. The West hasn't been in that spot yet.
Well, just think how cyclical the Big 12 North and the Big 12 South used to be, right? I mean, when it first was formed, it was all the Big 12 North, and then the South got its power. Oklahoma rose up. Texas was Texas. But it was Nebraska and Kansas State and Colorado carrying that thing. When the Big 12 was born. Vogues, we'll bother you tomorrow morning, if that's okay, for a weekend edition update. And we'll for sure bump into you tomorrow down for a real red tip-off, Nebraska basketball tip-off in the rail yard in the public market at 4 with the ESPN, and it's powered by Hail Varsity. Vogues, have a great rest of your Friday night, bud. Thanks for the time.
All right. Take care.
See you. Brandon Vogel with us. Danny, I got to ask you, do you have... some candy for the listeners? We didn't really discuss doing a forecast. I guess we can.
Yeah, we'll get a couple games out there.
Okay, we got to get Danny's pick. Danny's doing a blog for entertainment purposes only, of course, on ESPNLincoln.com. We'll continue on a Friday next.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Working through a Friday, don't forget, weekend edition of Hail Varsity tomorrow morning, 7 to 9, and then Real Red Tip-Off, 4 to 5. In the rail yard, public market, the rink will be open, so can I skate? We'll be down there getting ready myself, Danny Burke, excited for it. Can follow us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, Chris Schmidt, and Danny Burke at @DannyBurke5. Find us also on Hail Varsity. Great reference and resource to follow for all your Husker goodies. Volleyball, football, basketball, baseball. I mean, you go through it, it's Hail Varsity. Excited to be a part of that. Okay, Danny, are you locked in? Do you have some locks of the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned before we got to the break, I did start a blog called Burke's Best Bets. You like that?
I like the continued use of B. There's another B we can add on there, and I'm sure you'll be referenced in as if you just don't deliver on
some
of these.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I said feel free to rip on me for my picks, but I started off with the Titans. That was my pick. -4, that was pretty easy. It was like stealing from the bookie. I mean, you almost feel bad, you know? I mean, Schmitty over here had
it. I took Jacksonville to cover. I didn't think it'd be a lot of points. I didn't know Henry would go ape and just ape bleep and go off for 240 yards.
Yeah, it actually seemed like a lot of like more national people were thinking like you were and thinking it was just going to be a defensive battle.
Well, listen,
like
I mean, Tennessee's offense sucks a lot of times. I love Mariota, but they're just
– But the Jags are just so bad.
The Jags are bad offensively. Fine, yes.
Defensively, too.
But that's not normal. They're usually good defensively.
Yeah, but this year they've just been sucking. I mean, I had their defense
on fantasy.
They hate their
quarterback.
That's why I know. Yeah. Well, you know, as in Kessler or Bortles?
As in Bortles.
They trust him. They're blaming it on him, but it's really the whole team's just collapsing on both ends.
They are. And I know Kessler's new. But they're all, I mean, the defensive side of the ball that carried them to an AFC championship game last year, they are screw it.
Mm-hmm.
They are done. They're over it.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
but.
So you just made, it was easy money last night.
Yeah. So, and then besides that, the other games I had, let's see, trying to scroll through here. Oh, it was the Cowboys and Eagles. So that line is at 3.5. That is the 325 scheduled game on Sunday. In Jerry World, I have the Cowboys covering that game. I think they're going to win.
Philly's a joke right now.
Yeah, I mean, they beat the Redskins, but, I mean, if they didn't beat the Redskins.
You're supposed to with Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, right? I mean, even if they had Alex Smith, you still got it. Well, okay, maybe that would be a little bit closer. But still, he's defending Super Bowl champion with still, like, all of your returning players. They are battling injuries, but they're supposed to win that game.
I gotta interrupt you real quick when it comes to Washington and Sanchez. So I let it slip out. We're watching the Dallas game, right? And Mark Sanchez is in. And I just, out loud, me and my friends used to call Mark Sanchez dirty.
Dirty Sanchez. Yeah, I knew you were going there with that.
But the problem is now my kid's 12. And he stopped. Well, why do you call him Dirty Sanchez, Dad? Like, ask your mother.
Look it up.
Yeah. I said, ask your mother. And I said, look it up. And I got the worst look of my life for my wife. And I'm good at doing that. I'm good at pissing her off, given 7 times a day. Right? We see each other for 4 hours. Great. It works. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't in parent mode.
So did he look it up?
Yes, he did. hold on. I don't know if he did, but I said I gave him permission. But the look she gave me was nothing compared to the look she gave him of do not use your thumbs or your voice on that.
He's just going to run around the house screaming, Dirty Sanchez, Dirty Sanchez.
But it's too good. It's too good a nickname. And the reason the inappropriate part of it, yeah, that's funny. But how many guys troll high schools for chicks, allegedly, when you're an NFL fourth pick overall? I mean, seriously, that's like the rep of Sanchez. I mean, you're a USC quarterback. You shouldn't have problems finding someone to accompany you wherever you live, in Manhattan, Mr. GQ, or in SoCal.
Well, Schmitty,
you shouldn't have to go with the 18 or 19-year-old crowd. Just saying.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Careful there, Wooderson.
My favorite movie of all time.
Before Danny
man.
Gets banned from his high school game tonight, he's quoting a movie there. I interrupted you. I had to bring that up. Because
I love it. That was good stuff.
That's what got me into trouble last weekend.
No, that is weird that Sanchez did that and hopefully does not still continue to do that. But anyway, so yeah, the Eagles, I said, don't let that game fool you, the win over Sanchez and the Redskins. I think the Cowboys, with the playoff implications on the line.
Dallas playing good football.
Yeah, they're playing good football. Their defense is top two.
Yep.
I think they'll easily take care of the Eagles on Sunday. And then another game I had, bringing it back to Sanchez, hosting the Giants, 3.5-point dogs. I think the Redskins cover at home against the Giants. The Giants are playing really well, but the Redskins have a pretty good defense. They're playing at home. The Giants' last three games have all been within 3 points. Sanchez didn't look terrible. He didn't throw any touchdowns. He had the one interception. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think they cover. And you also have Josh Norman on Odell Beckham. Remember
that's
that?
That's great.
That
is so good. And that goes back to the Carolina-New yep. York game where Beckham should have been suspended for three games for spearing.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great game. I was watching those highlights the other week.
I might watch that game now.
Absolutely. So I think the Giants will probably win. Redskins could maybe cover, lose by three there. And then the last game, I'm trying to think.
Who are your Bears got?
They got the Rams. That's the game of the week, baby.
Okay.
I'm pretty scared, I'm going to be honest. Trubisky's back, though, so it's going to be good.
It's a good thing you get the booger picker out. Chase.
Yeah.
Daniel.
That was tough to watch him just blow that game. But anyway, so then I had the Chargers and Bengals. Chargers covering 14. The Bengals are horrendous. A.J. Green's out. The Chargers are on fire. I said expecting a kid, Phillip Rivers, is a tough guy to beat. Expecting his ninth child. So, yeah, just a lot of pent-up testosterone in that guy. So he's going to have a lot of aggression out there on the field. I think the over hits in that game as well. I think it's like at 47.5. And then I had the bonus parlay. It was kind of late now, but it was Titans, Cowboys, and Chiefs. Okay. Plus 200 odds.
KC, what are you thinking?
So they got
Baltimore,
the Ravens.
They're playing Baltimore, yeah.
6.5 at home. I mean, it's kind of scary how they played the Raiders. Granted, that was on the road, but...
Kansas City's defense is... Listen, that had distraction written all over. I want to make my first time to Vegas, and I've never been. I want to go see the Raiders, and I don't like the Raiders. I don't care much about them. I don't hate them. I don't love them. But I'd love to go see either Denver or Kansas City in Vegas. I think that'd be sweet. Me and the rest of the world, obviously, but... I think that'd be big time.
Yeah, that'd be sick. So it's like a 6.5-point favorite now. I think they'll cover. The Ravens, I mean, who's going to play quarterback? Because there's like reports that Flacco's healthy, but they're sticking with Lamar. The defense is really good, too.
Well, the way Lamar's been able to at least get them over 20 points the last 3 weeks, I'd go with it. Flacco's not bad. He's never had weapons around him, typically.
And the mobility of Lamar's helps him out tremendously.
Instant offense. We'll wind down a Friday. Thanks for your time. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Mann and Danny Burke.
One final time, weekend edition tomorrow, 7 to 9. Myself, Mark Kranak, and Colton Stone. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we'll be down in the rail yard in the public market. Real Red tip-off show. Me and Danny will get you ready for Nebraska Creighton. You'll be in a festive mood. And Vogel nailed this point, too. Nebraska fans for football are so beloved, respected, uplifted with how they treat the opponent. Nebraska basketball fans tomorrow, they're not going to be throwing elbows at Creighton fan, but it will be hostile. And you can't say that ever for a Nebraska sporting event, typically. Volleyball, not hostile. They just kick your ass. Nebraska football, hey, thanks for coming. Let's play a good football game. Nebraska basketball, the only hostility you've really seen or heard the last several years of PBA is when the Zebras screwed things up, and the Zebras have been awful more times than not this year, either home or away. But it'll be hostile. It'll be edgy. Tomorrow, I mean, it's on. We should do like a 7-hour pregame show tomorrow.
I'd be down.
Danny's like, yeah.
Are you going to be enemies with pharmacist Jeff tomorrow?
No, I don't think so. He might be working. I don't know. Mm. I mean, I went to one Nebraska Creighton game with him up there. All right. And I went and saw Creighton one year when Billy Gillespie was coach in Kentucky. And he didn't last, obviously, because of his, last call driving ability, nor the fact that they were both in the NIT. I like Dana Altman. I mean, I like him, and I think McDermott does well with the offense. Nebraska's defense is going to be the reason they win tomorrow, and just being smarter on offense is going to be the other. Nebraska's a better team, more talented.
Yeah,
we'll give our prediction tomorrow.
How's the atmosphere there up in Omaha for basketball games? I've never been to one.
It's been years, honestly. It's been years. Me drink. It's kind of a country club deal. It is what it is.
Yeah, I went down to Omaha for the game last year, but just hung out at the bars. So.
Sure. No, that's wise.
Yeah,
Danny. Okay, you got Pius in Southeast tonight over on KFOR.
Yep, that's correct.
Tip off at 7:30, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, will be bringing you the phone and the call. And I tell you what, it's a lot of fun. Both those schools are tremendous, great coaches. And Coach Spitzka for Pius used to be a neighbor. So a little nod to him. And Pius is a good atmosphere. I like it. We'll have plenty for you tomorrow with Hail Varsity in the morning, and then Real Red tip-off in the afternoon. We'll have some goodies. Now, I've sent out some tweets before, but if you're a great shooter, if you're tremendous, if you think your kid can stroke, we've got the hot shot set up there. Down in the market area.
So you're lucky I'm back here in the studio, man. I'd shoot you out the building.
Yeah, whatever.
HYBA 3-point champion, sophomore year of high school, baby.
Jesus.
I got the plaque and everything.
12th man.
I think I still have it here at school because I was going to hang it up ironically.
Well, yeah, Danny's, what is it, Danny's grandma, what was the shirt?
Danny's granny.
Danny's granny, that's right. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Listen to Danny Burke tonight at 7:30 on KFOR. Thanks.